Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Okay. All right, well, we thank the Lord for allowing us to come together for a class on tonight. We're going to get started tonight and continue with our teaching and pick up where we left off from last week. And last week we ended on the 10 M's of manhood and ministry. We closed out that section on boot camp. And tonight we're going to begin the section on becoming prophetic. So I'm going to give you a chance to get your Bible and get your book so that we can get started.
We're going to begin here. We're going to talk tonight about becoming prophetic and about how the word comes. And we're going to try to finish this section tonight because we've got a lot of things to cover. And I know I say that every week, but we really do have a lot of material to cover. And I want to try to finish. Well, we are. We're going to finish this section tonight. And then our next class, when we come together, we're going to do the mentor and the prophet. So that class is going to be a little bit longer than tonight's class, and it's going to be quite a bit of material for us to cover. And I know that we pray, but I just want to pray once again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for allowing us to come together. Thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship, this time of getting in the Word. God, and right now we ask you, Lord, that you would just let your will be done. Allow the spirit of the teacher, Lord God, to flow in our midst tonight. God, we come against everything that will fight against this teaching, everything that would fight against us receiving. And God, we just ask you to continue to have your way, be glorified in all that we do and all that we say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and so tonight we are beginning our study with how does the word come and becoming prophetic. And this segment is really not just for anyone who's called to prophetic ministry, but anybody who's called to ministry at all. Part of, can deal with this particular part of the book. Okay, the word of the Lord comes as divine revelation, as the unction of the Spirit of God. The prophet receives revelation, divine impartations, and unveiling through different channels. Sacred communication can come in any of the following ways. Number one, we know that God can speak to us through an audible voice. And let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 4 says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And I know that a lot of people may not believe that God still speaks audibly today, but of a surety, God does still speak audibly today. And I remember even myself when the Lord, even though I knew what God had called me to and what mantle was on my life and whatever, and I had received prophecies, early in salvation about what God would call me to do and what things, and the type of ministry that I was called to, when I came to the point of God actually thrusting me forward into that ministry, the Lord spoke to me audibly. And I remember because I was in prayer, and as I was in prayer and seeking the Lord spoke to me. There was nobody else in the room with me, and I know, for the world, they feel that, that God doesn't speak, and if you're hearing voices, you need medication, but I know that the Lord spoke to me audibly and told me that I was his prophet and he had ordained me. And so we need to understand that even that audible voice is not always just out loud in the outside, meaning externally, but you can also hear an audible voice internally. You can hear God speak to your spirit. You can hear God speak in your ear. You can hear God speak to you when there's nobody else in the room. And so that is one of the ways that the word of the Lord comes when we are receiving those unveilings from the Spirit of God. Another way that the word of the Lord comes is through a mental picture, or what we call vision. A vision or a mental picture that is true to life or apocalyptic while conscious or unconscious, meaning you can be awake or you can be asleep and still have a vision. Okay, your eyes can be open or your eyes can be closed. And let's look at the scriptural foundation for this, and I know that you are familiar with it, but I want to be able to look at the scripture because we're not going to do a lot of, like, preaching from the scripture per se through this section, but I want to be able to give us scriptural references. So even if we don't read all of them, I would like to read some of the verses that we have that accompany this week's teaching. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 7, and verse 54 is where we're going to begin, and we'll read down to verse 56, and this is also in your book as well. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Okay, so here it is. We see that Stephen has an open vision. He has a vision while he is being persecuted and while the people are abusing him for the message that he has preached. Looks up into heaven while he's standing there, while the people are around him, while he is experiencing his persecution. He looks up into heaven and he sees an open vision, not a mental picture in this particular case, but he looks up into heaven and sees an open vision right before his eyes of what is going on in the heavenly realm. All right, and so this is a place where we have got to get to, and I believe that we had talked about this some time ago about how that there is a place where God would have us to dwell, where we can see into the realm of the unseen. And I know that, you know, we have busy schedules and there's so much pulling and yanking on our schedules and, you know, vying for our time and vying for our affections. But this, you know, is a fact that the only way that we're going to be able to receive these words in the way that God would like to speak to us is through us getting in prayer. We have got to get in prayer so that we can pull away from all the noise, pull away from all of the other voices that are speaking in the world, so that we can hear from God, so that we can actually tune in to the channel that God is speaking on, so that we can hear what he has to say. All right, and the other way that God speaks to us is through an immediate unction. This is not a vision. This is not an audible voice, but this is when, at times, you can feel in your spirit an urge to do a thing or to say a thing. That's what that unction is. It is a leading in your spirit for you to speak a specific word or to do something or to go a specific direction, all right? And even as it says in your book, it's a bursting forth of words without premeditation as the Spirit gives utterance. You didn't study it. You didn't take the time to try to figure out what should I say right here. It comes up out of your belly and flows out of your mouth. And, of course, the source of it is the Spirit of God, okay? And you'll see a reference for that in Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 22, all right? Then there's also the ecstatic experience, which is if you experience this in a trance or a dream or a semi-conscious state, okay? This is a sudden overpowering while you're conscious. And even as we look, let's look real quick at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Okay, we're going to look at how God dealt with Cornelius and Peter, Simon Peter. Okay? This is Acts chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 9, but I don't want to read the whole thing, but I just want to read the part about him being able to experience this trance that he experienced while up on top of the house. Verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Notice that prayer is the precursor. It is the condition that comes before us being able to see into the spirit, hear in the spirit, or even experience anything in the spirit. Prayer is the precursor. Prayer is the catalyst. It is the vehicle that we use to travel into the spirit. It is the vehicle that we use to communicate with God and to receive a word from him. Okay, verse 9 again. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This wasn't something he planned on, but just it happened while he was waiting, okay? And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, okay? And okay, and then verse 16 says, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So God communicated to Peter the message that he needed to get across to him while he was up on the housetop, while he was away from everybody else. See the conditions that he was in. He was away from everybody else, and he was up there praying and seeking the Lord, and God gave him instructions for that. But for that day, told him what he needed to do, who he needed to go see, and we need to be able to take the time to do those very same things so that we can receive of the Lord, receive our instruction from God, know what God would have us to do, going into the places that God would have us to go into, and seeing the people and spending time with the people that God would have us to spend time with, all right? And then finally, there is the low-level impression, or what we call feeling. It is a sense, a sensing or a knowing in your spirit of something. You know how we say something told me that I should have did this, or, you know, or I feel, you know, I felt led to do this, or I feel like this is what the Lord is saying. I feel like this is what I should be doing, okay? This is, we like to say that this is the lowest level of impression, and usually when we are just learning to hear the word of the Lord, we're just learning, you know, how God is dealing with us, we say, I feel, you know, or something told me, or I felt this, or I feel like this in the spirit. But it doesn't mean that after you grow in the spirit that you don't necessarily feel those low-level impressions as well as the others that we have talked about. It is just that as a person who is just learning to use the gifts that God has given them, and as someone who God is dealing with prophetically, we will tend to lean more toward what we feel in our spirit, or not necessarily being able to pinpoint that thing that God is saying. You know, we'll tend to lean toward you know, saying that I feel like this, or something told me this, or, you know, I had a feeling that this was going to happen. You know, that's the thing that we're talking about right here. And I want to look at John chapter 4 and verse 19. John chapter 4 and verse 19. Okay. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And so this verse right here, of course we know this is the woman at the well, okay? And if this woman is not doing what she's supposed to do, which we already, you know, we gather that from the scripture, because she was one who was seeking love and happiness in other men, so she was an adulteress, okay? But nevertheless, even being in the state that she was in, she was able to perceive or pick up have a low-level impression of who Jesus was based on his conversation with him, with her. So, you know, this goes to tell you that even there are times that God will reveal himself to sinners. He will reveal himself to people who don't necessarily pray like they should and all the rest of that, because God has a message, and when he wants to get his message out, and he always does, so when he wants to get his message out, he's going to get it out any kind of way he can, whether that be audibly, whether that be through visions, or giving us an unction, or us having ecstatic experiences of trances, all right, or through us having those low-level impressions, those feelings and urges in the spirit, okay? So these are just some of the things that we can look at in Scripture and see that this is the way that God has gone about revealing himself and showing himself to his people, okay? And so what we need to be able to do is become familiar with the way that God reveals himself so that we can position ourselves and be open to whatever way that God wants to speak to us so that we can hear him. And then when we hear him, we can act upon what the Lord is saying, okay? Even as we're going into this area of, you know, now dealing with the meat and the potatoes of what this class is really about, we have laid the foundation and, you know, talked about character development and all of those things, and now we're going into the prophetic area of the ministry and dealing with, you know, those things that are of great importance to those who are in prophetic ministry. You know, one of the things that we have to bear in mind, and I'm speaking not verbatim, but paraphrasing from a quote that is here in our book, right below this section here on becoming prophetic, is that one of the things we have to make sure that we never do, and that is never walk around trying to prove our, you know, to other people who it is that we are. The only thing we got to do is just be who God has called us to be. There's a lot of competition in the body of Christ. There is a lot of, you know, showboating. There's a lot of flesh on parade. I want my name in lights. Got to be on TV, TVN, World Network, whatever it is. You know, got to pass out my business cards kind of mentality. You know, and I'm not telling you that because you have business cards that means that you're trying to, you know, get acclaim. But what I am saying is, you know, understanding that you are a gift to the body of Christ. Whatever fivefold area of ministry God has called you to, you are a gift. Your responsibility is to be available to God and then be able to give to others by the will of God. And if we are not prepared to do that, you know, and we have, and if we put ourselves in the position where we are trying to make our own way and trying to make people see us, then we have lost track with what God has ordained for us to do. And so I want to encourage you, I just want to take a minute right here just to encourage you to really, you know, never lose your focus. Your focus is to become everything that God has ordained for you to become, but at the same time, not lose focus and try to become a movie star or a celebrity. And they have this new thing now they call a Christian celebrity, which is an oxymoron. It doesn't, those are two words that do not belong together, okay, because we are just servants. And we don't have any business going around trying to prove ourselves, trying to convince people, you know, that I'm this and this is what God has called me to be. And, you know, you walking around calling yourself apostle and prophet and evangelist, and nobody at your church don't know anything else about you except that your brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you know, that's unbalanced. That's unbalanced. And so we need to bring balance to that and understand that we are here to do the work of the Lord for his glory and not for ourselves. This world is not our home. We are not here to put down roots in this world. We are passing through this world. We are not here to stay. And so because of that, we should live like we're not here to stay. We should live like we are here to be godly examples, you know, to other men and women, leading them to God and encouraging them to fulfill their purpose. All right, and so while we're talking about precautions, you know, precautions for ministry and precautions about our own motives and attitudes and the way that we carry ourselves, the other area that we want to discuss right here is the suggestion for delivering prophetic words. After God speaks to you, however it is he speaks to you, whether it be audibly or through a vision, through, you know, immediate unctions or through ecstatic experiences or through impressions or feelings, there's a way that you have got to go about delivering the message. And I had somebody who went with me someplace, you know, and they, you know, felt that God gave them a word to prophesy. And because they had not, they had attempted to go through this class, but they had not finished this class, they missed the whole thing. And there are times where we really show how we're really trying to prove to other people who we are instead of just being who we are. So these are just some suggestions about how we should deliver the word. And I believe that, you know, this is a part of leadership training. This is a part of prophetic training or any ministry, any area of ministry that you are called to. We need to know how to deliver what God has given us, because sometimes we get so excited, you know, and we don't exercise wisdom when we're delivering the word that the Lord has given us. Sometimes, because we're so ecstatic about what God is saying, we forget that, you know what I'm saying, that that word has to come through our personality. That word has to funnel through the sieve of our personality. And when we have areas in our personality that have not been submitted to the will of God, there are times that we can come across the wrong way. So this is why we have this portion of the teaching, suggestions for delivery, okay? Number one, we're going to talk about combination, okay? How you deliver the word, what is included in the message that you give, okay? The most effective and helpful prophecies combine revelation, whatever it is that God has revealed to you, anointed, meaning abiding in what God has anointed you to do, and wise, appropriate delivery. Wise, appropriate delivery, which means knowing when to say a thing, knowing how to say something. There are words that you don't speak out loud. There are times where God may reveal something that is so intimate that other people don't need to know, you know what I'm saying, what God is saying to the person that you're speaking to. You know, there are times when you know, you may receive a word and say, for instance, you're visiting somebody's church. You don't just jump up and start prophesying. There is a way that we have to exercise wisdom when we are delivering the word that God has spoken to us. Okay, let's talk about our stance. Stand normally, okay, and avoid any distracting or nervous movements, okay, or emotions that disrupt or disruptive mannerisms. Be animated, be anointed, and excited about all the things that God is saying to you without being so emotional that it detracts from the message. If you are yelling and screaming, who's going to be able to hear you? If you're so busy going off in tongues, who's going to be able to hear you? You don't have to speak in tongues and then try to interpret your own tongues. Just speak what God is saying. Either he's prophesying through you or you're speaking in tongues, one or the other. And I've seen people do it. God has given them a word, but instead of them just standing up and speaking what thus saith the Lord, they'll speak a little bit, then they go off speaking in tongues. Then they speak for a little bit, then go off speaking in tongues. And I think a lot of that is from what I've seen in ministry, the years that I've been in ministry, I'm finding that is a learned behavior. You know, if God can speak to you in the quiet of your spirit while you're walking through the grocery store and tell you what to speak to a person, you know, and you can do that decently and in order, then I'm sure that even just because we're in church doesn't mean that we have to add all of the bells and whistles to what we are delivering. Now, there are times where the spirit is high and God is moving, and you know what I'm saying? There is a flow of the word of God, and you know, there's manifestation of the moving of the spirit of God, and, you know, they're shouting and dancing and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not present, but what I am saying is discern what atmosphere is around you. Discern what is appropriate as you're delivering the word. It's not all in hollering and screaming and being loud and, you know, trying to prove something in your delivery. Just say what God says and move right along. All right? You know, and on that note, this includes, when we're talking about disruptive mannerisms, you don't have to, you know, be shaking your hands all over the place. And I mean, a lot of stuff we can just leave it to imagination. We know. If we just sit back and look at what goes on in church, we can say, okay, that's just a fiasco, that's just flesh, and it's just, you know, bodily exercise, you know, and so we need to decipher the difference between the two. God, you know, does move through us, and sometimes we can be emotional, and it's okay, but at the same time, don't let your emotions detract from the message that God has given you to deliver to whoever you have to deliver it to. All right, let's talk about the opener. Avoid prefixing a prophecy with thus saith the Lord, unless that is the way the Lord instructs you to repeat it. And I remember back in, I'm going to say, oh, I don't know, maybe something like in the 80s, whenever anybody was prophesying, that's the way they prophesied. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. The reason why we say refrain from that is because or the simple fact, especially if you are a fledgling prophet and you are just learning how to hear from God and how to deliver his word, and you're still learning to try the spirit by the spirit, you're still learning, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. And then you end up missing, you know, don't say thus saith the Lord if you're just learning, so that if it's something that you missed, you know what I'm saying, you missed the mark, but you said, thus saith the Lord, then you make yourself look like a false prophet. This is instruction for beginning prophets that I'm giving right here, that particular instance. You can say, you know, that go back to the language that we use at the top of the page about that low-level impression. I feel like the Lord is saying. You know what I'm saying? And it's perfectly okay for you to do that while you're learning. And knowing that others who are hearing you, they're going to judge what you're saying. You know, we can be, it's easier to understand if you're learning and you learn how to preface the word that you're given without trying to act like you've been a prophet for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? When you know you just started prophesying 2 months ago, you know what I'm saying? So walk in humility. You don't have anything to prove. It's all about God glorifying himself, you know what I'm saying? It's all about God getting the glory out of whatever you're doing. And as you're learning, you know, if you feel that in your spirit, like you know this is God speaking and that's how the Lord spoke to you and said, say that, thus saith the Lord, then you deliver the word however God gives it to you. You know what I'm saying? Say what God says. Okay, be humble in your approach to delivering the word. Speak, you know what I'm saying, what God is saying, and then let that word speak for itself. Okay, let that word speak for itself. Now, let's talk about content. Speak only what God has given you. And you know, sometimes some people have the tendency to embellish what God is saying. They stretch it or exaggerate it, say, you know, and add to whatever God is saying. And, you know, I discourage that practice. I think that that's a bad practice, and I think that, you know, even according to Scripture, and I give you a scriptural reference of an exaggerated word here in 1 Kings 22, 13, and 14. And so what we need to learn to do is understand that it's all about Jesus. It's all about him encouraging the person that we are delivering this message to. Just say what God says. You know, you don't have to add to it. Speak what thus saith the Lord, and then move on out the way, okay? And you don't repeat what somebody else says. I've seen it with some of these programs that they have come on, and some of these people get up and they are, and I use this as an example, so that, you know, I don't use any of the local churches in our area and say some of the things that I've seen in these local churches here. So we'll talk about what happened that I have seen on television in some of these services that they show on TV when they have prophets all coming together. And I have seen where they, you know, the prophets will come and they will prophesy and say that this is what the Lord is saying, and then they would go to the next person and let that next person prophesy. And it would be a verbatim prophetic word that the person before them just finished saying. So, you know, if God hasn't given you something that is unique to the situation, I can understand also speaking a word of confirmation. That's altogether different. I'm not talking about, you know, God using you to bring confirmation, but I'm talking about just really regurgitating another person's message and saying, thus saith the Lord, when really that's an issue of trying to get in the spotlight, okay? Next, let's talk about delivery on the next page. Speak strong and clearly. Use normal speech without strange voice sounds or religious twangs. And you know how some people do when they start talking, you know, the Lord, he is speaking to me right now, and this is what I feel the Lord's saying. Now, you don't speak like that, and God doesn't speak like that. He speaks to us just like we speak to one another. And so let us just use whatever our normal voice is and just say what God is saying, okay? Screaming or being loud does not authenticate that you have heard from God. It does not make you more anointed because you holler, you know, to the top of your lungs, or you give the word that you feel the Lord speaking to you. You say it with, you know, extra volume. That does not mean that it's going to force others to believe that God is speaking to you. Just say what God tells you to say. If the spirit is high, flow with the spirit. You know what I'm saying? But if you're in a calm environment, flow with the environment that you're in. Learn to, you know what I'm saying, because the Bible tells us the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You have control over yourself. And so we have to learn how to exercise control over ourselves. You can be feeling like on the inside like you want to jump up and down and holler and scream. But if the atmosphere that you're in does not call for that, use wisdom so that you can deliver the message and bring healing and deliverance to the person that you're speaking to. And I'm going to tell you something. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. And it doesn't matter, you know what I'm saying, what it is that you feel like you have to do. Just say what God is telling you to say. You don't have to add to it. There's power in those words. Those words are pregnant. And as long as they are full of faith, that seed, that pregnant word that you are speaking will get into the spirit of the person that you are speaking to, and they will be able to latch hold to that word. And, amen, you'll see the manifestation of the things that God has spoken. Okay? Let's talk about language. Avoid speaking in the King James English. This is always my favorite part of this teaching, to be able to talk about folks prophesying in the King James. That is done by people saying, okay, thou hast been a faithful servant, and I have seen all that thou hast done, and whatever. We don't speak like that. That's King James English. That is not American English. That's not today's English. Now, if God give you a word like that, then, hey, he gave you a word like that. But usually I found, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who has found this, that usually when people are doing that, they're just trying to be deep. Just say what God says and then sit down. You know what I'm saying? It's as simple as that. Use contemporary language and contemporary terminology, okay? You want to make sure that the message comes across and that the person who's receiving is receiving effective messages from God. And if you are the delivery, you know, the agent of delivery, or you're the agent delivering that message, then you have to make sure that you are speaking appropriately, that, you know, you're not getting in the way of that message being received, but that message is being delivered clearly. You've given a strong message. You've spoken clear. You didn't use no strange twangs in your voice. You're not speaking religiously. You're not speaking King James. And half of us have to have another Bible next to us or a dictionary or something to even understand King James English. So it makes no sense to get up and try to prophesy King James, you know, English when we know we don't speak that manner. Okay? Also, let's talk about brevity. Be specific. Brief and to the point, and then take your seat. I am a serious advocate for this. Don't have to get up and run around the church after you prophesy. I mean, unless that's the spirit that's moving right now. Get up, say what God tell you to say. Be to the point. Don't embellish it. Say what God says. Take your seat. It's as simple as that. Take your seat. If you find that your mind goes blank or you can't remember whatever the message is, then that means it's time to stop talking. It means that you have delivered everything that you need to deliver, and now your time is up, okay? And so these are all little points that we need to remember. Let's talk real quick about prophecies to avoid. There are obvious areas that we don't need to prophesy about, and this really needs to be dealt with in the church because you will find that there are people that as soon as a little bit of trouble breaks out in the church, they want to get religious and start prophesying about those circumstances. But it is wisdom. And remember, that's one of the first points that we went over, when we were talking about suggestions for delivery, that you have to use wise, appropriate delivery. If it's not appropriate for you to speak openly, even prophetically so, about something, then we need to learn how to exercise our ability to hold our peace. I remember some years ago I was in a large church, and honestly, I didn't even understand what God was saying. But I knew that he was speaking to me. I was in prayer, and the Lord took me into scripture, and this is before I understood prophetic gifting and how God speaks. And, you know, I just knew I was in prayer, and God began to speak to me about sin in the house of God and how he was going to bring judgment. First of all, I was really a young woman, and I wasn't even an adult yet at that time. So I really felt like there was, you know, if I was to get up and try to say something like that, they wouldn't listen to me. On top of the fact that I did not feel like God wanted me to get up and say all those things, I really felt like he just wanted me to pray about that particular situation. And so with the passage of time, I saw that there were some issues that came to the forefront about the sin that was in the house and the judgment that came as a result of that, okay? And there were some leaders who were sat down and the whole nine. So this is where your ministry of intercession is going to have to work hand in hand with your ministry of the prophetic. Because we haven't really gotten into the ministry of the prophet itself, and we have a whole section on the prophet. We're going to talk some more later on about whatever your first ministry is, and we did talk some in the beginning, and that's what you got to remember. All throughout your walk with God and all throughout your ministry, whatever it is that you're doing, your first ministry on top of everything else is prayer. Your first ministry is to the Lord. It's not to the local church. It is not to your pastor. It is not, you know, to your ministry group or whatever, your church affiliation. The first ministry is to the Lord in prayer. And so there are obvious areas that you're going to encounter in church as you deal with life situations, you know, in the household of faith. There's going to be areas that you're going to see that are going to come up. God may speak to you and show it to you in advance, but you're going to have to use wisdom and know when to speak and when not to speak and when to just intercede, okay? Just because God is speaking to you does not mean that you tell everything you see. And I remember one of my former pastor's wives had said to me some years ago, my husband was in the military and we were at a church, and she said to me, she said, you know, God was dealing with me, showing me things, and she said to me, she said, God never shows you anything just because he wanted to show you. You got to go to him and ask him, God, what do you want me to do with this thing that you're showing me? Okay? So you need to go to God and receive instruction. Once he reveals something to you, once the veil has come over your eyes and you have seen in the spirit, you need to begin to ask the Lord, what does he want? what you've seen. Okay? Do I speak on this thing, Lord? Do I pray on this thing? Do I fast on this thing? What do you want me to do about what I see? Because everything that I see does not mean that I am supposed to act upon it. Okay, so going back to these obvious trouble areas, church disputes, or anything that you have natural knowledge and emotional or personal investments and strong opinions about, keep your mouth shut. That's as simple as we can put it. You know, I know that sounds like, you know, that's to the point, but really, that's what we got to do. We got to keep our mouths shut. We have to learn to not speak about things just because we have spiritual knowledge about it. And especially if you have an emotional connection to that thing or you have prior knowledge about it, sometimes others may not be able to receive from you because they feel that that your opinion, even if it's, you've given them a prophetic word, they'll still try to say, well, you know, your opinion may be biased because you had prior knowledge or because you are emotionally or personally attached to that particular issue. So use wisdom. Just because you know about it doesn't mean you have to speak about it. Exercise self-control in that area. And, you know, if it's something better left prayed about, then do that, or maybe you may have to go to a person, you know, on an individual basis or whatever, but you need to pray and ask the Lord how to handle that, okay? Let's talk about date setting. Do not attempt to set a date for Christ's return. That is a sure way to tell that you are no true prophet. We already know the Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour, neither the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father knows only when Christ shall return, the exact date. So, let's steer clear of that, okay? That's a sure sign of cultic activity and the spirit of the lying prophet is to try to distract from whatever God has really ordained for us to be doing in this hour, to try to have us set dates for things that we really know not of, okay? Discipline. Let the church leaders handle necessary corrections of others' wrong. You speak only as the Lord leads you. And there is emphasis on this in Matthew chapter 18. Okay? Just because you know does not mean that you need to speak about it. There have been times, and even as a pastor, there have been times that I have known and God has shown me. God has taken me into conversations. God has taken me into people's homes and let me see what was going on. Let me hear conversations that they have had, or let me discern their attitude about any, you know, given situation. That does not mean that I have to speak on it. There is a time for everything under the sun, like the Bible says. And so, even as leaders, we have to learn to, you know, choose our time appropriately, you know what I'm saying? And if it's an issue that needs to be dealt with by others in authority, let them handle it. You know, don't try to overstep your bounds, unless the Lord tells you, listen, I want you to take this word and go say, thus and so, follow God's instructions at all times. So if he tells you to do that, then that's what you do. Fantasy. Beware of dreams, visions, and et cetera that exalt you above others, that involve you being famous, being rich, or taking over a ministry. Walk in humility. Allow God to exalt you in your due season. This is important because, you know, you got a lot of people who feel that they are there at their church to replace their pastors' wives, replace their pastors' husbands. You know what I'm saying? God showed them that they're going to take over the ministry. God showed them that they was going to be the lead over this auxiliary and the lead over that auxiliary. You know, beware of all that fantasy. Beware of, you know, people coming to you trying to say, well, you know, just like the Lord showed Joseph that he was going to be exalted above his brothers, God showed me. That's a sure sign that God has not shown them anything because there's no humility. Because with that message would have come another message that would have said, hold your peace. Okay, or that this is for an appointed time. So we got to walk in wisdom. And I think even throughout all of this, what we're talking about, wisdom even as Solomon said it, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the principal thing that we've got to have when we're talking about prophetic ministry, because there are so many do's and don'ts, you can't memorize everything. And so the surefire way to make sure that you're going to be walking in the right, I'm saying, and not stepping in the wrong, is to exercise wisdom, pray, and be led of God, so that we're not walking in our flesh and doing things just because we want to do it. All right, let's talk about sin. Do not dig up others' past sins. It's not edifying. Okay? Now, if God is telling you to expose something that's going on, then by all means you say what God says. But if you're just trying to dig up what somebody did 15 years ago because you feel like that's what the Lord wants you to do, I don't know about all of that. Okay? Marriage and divorce. No one should marry or divorce because of prophecy, especially if it hasn't been an established word. Out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That's what the Bible says. So if, and I've seen this happen, I'm sure some of you have as well, seen it happen where people get married because somebody prophesied to them, oh, this is your husband, that's your wife. You know, and then 5 years down the road, your life is messed up. You are married to someone who you're not compatible with, you know, and you got a house full of baby kids that you didn't want because you didn't marry the person that God had for you. You married the person that the bishop told you to marry. We have got to learn that everything is not our domain. We got to let God be God. We got to let people seek God for themselves. We got to let people hear God for themselves. We are not anybody's personal prophets. We are here to say what thus saith the Lord, and if God does not speak, then neither do we. And that's what we have got to set boundaries for ourselves so that we don't get ourselves yanked up and tangled up into, you know, foolishness because we wanted to be big shots and prophesy. All right, let's talk about money. Beware of promising others things based on their giving. Let's read that again. Beware of promising others things based upon their giving. Now, we see this a dime a dozen. Every time there is a telethon on TV, these people get up and prophesy and tell people, if you give this, then God said he's going to do this and he's going to save your whole house if you give him $500. The devil is a liar. We already have a promise from God, so there's no amount of money that's going to cause God to save my household. Why? Because he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I've got a promise on that. So I don't have to pay God to fulfill a promise. So we got to steer clear of prophesying for a dime. We got to steer clear of that, okay? Do not ask for money before you are willing to prophesy or give a word to someone. For example, calling special offering lines and prophesying only to those who bring monetary gifts. That's a classic. And I don't see it that much down here in the north, down here in the south. But in the north, it's every service. They got $100 lines, $50 lines, $20 lines, you know, $200 lines, $5,000 lines. Promising people things based on prophecy or based on their giving or shaking their hands and prophesying to them as they walk around and put the money in the offering. That is soothsaying at its finest. You just paid, you might as well have called Miss Cleo because it's the same thing. Okay? So let's speak what God tells us to speak. God will speak to others and cause them to give into our bosom. We do not have to manipulate the people to try to get them to give us anything for us to prophesy to them in return. Beware of prophesying concerning sacrifice. Do not order others to give up all their earthly possessions. Although people need to be challenged, they need not be robbed. We don't want people being robbed in the house of God. We have had enough of that. Let's become leaders who have integrity, who have financial integrity as well as spiritual integrity. Let's not try honor to our Father. That's what we want to be able to do. Not doing things because we want to get paid. You want to get paid, go get you a 9-to-5. But if you want God to pay you, be patient and wait on the Lord. Do what God has called you to do and wait on him. And wait on him. Amen. All right, we're going to go to qualifications for those who prophesy. Now, we talked about safeguards. Not safeguards. We talked about prophecies to avoid. We talked about suggestions for delivery and how the word comes. Now we're going to talk about qualifications for those who prophesy. Let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. Okay, we're going to read a couple of verses for here. Deuteronomy chapter 13. I'll give you a second to go get that. And we're going to start at verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 13, 5. Okay? Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. All right? Let's read the word. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of things. But here we have in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, some of the qualifications for those who are calling themselves prophets. Number one, your message should not turn people away from God. And anytime you hear a message, and we already know that, that's the ABCs of salvation, let alone prophetic ministry. That if somebody comes to you and they are trying to lead you astray, we know that that ain't God. Okay? And so we don't want to follow strange voices. All right? And then that person's word must come to pass. Now, if they are prophesying and their prophecy comes to pass, but their message is off and they're trying to get you to go another way and not follow God, we know that that's a lying sign and a lying wonder. And so we need to learn to discern the message, discern what they're saying. Try the spirit by the spirit. You're not worried about the person. You're trying to try the spirit behind the message that they are delivering and not just the message by itself. What spirit is in operation? And so we need to be able to discern that. So the qualifications for those who prophesy, you can read the other verses of scripture in your own free time. But for the sake of time, I'm going to just go ahead and continue this. Some of the qualifications for those who prophesy, number one, must be a spirit-filled believer. Number two, a committed worshiper. Number three, a faith-filled person, a person of active prayer, a member of a local church body. And it's essential that we talk about that, because this is the hour when people are feeling like they don't need to be a part of a local church. You don't know where they come from. You don't know whose church they came out of. You don't know where they've been. And they want to get up and say that they are God's anointed. Okay? Let us be able to have a local assembly that can second or confirm that we are God's people. And I'm not saying that because you may not have joined the church, but at least be connected to a local body. My goodness. Let somebody know what kind of character you have. Let somebody know what kind of person you are. okay? You must be a student. They must be a student of the word, a cooperative participant. You cannot be rebellious and then want somebody to listen to you, you know, prophesy. You cannot be someone who does not submit to authority, does not listen to anybody, always knows the answer, and never wants to let somebody else answer, and then you want somebody to listen to you prophesy. No, you have not passed that test. Okay? Must be an exemplary person. Please be free from sin. If you want to call yourself a prophet, please let's get sin out of our life. I know that we all have areas that we struggle with, but some of the basics we should be delivered from, like smoking and drinking and cussing. You know, we shouldn't still be struggling with those things and then be trying to walk around and get in somebody's pulpit. All right? Must be a person with a clear conscience. Be at peace with others around you. Walking in forgiveness and forgiving others. Okay? That should be part of what you're doing as a vessel of the Lord. All right? There are five basic safeguards. I'm sure there are more than five. But these are the five that we chose to include in this section of our teaching. Number one, the written word is to be elevated above all prophecy. I don't care what people come and try to prophesy and what it is that they want to try to say. The word of God, the Bible, is the highest level of prophetic word that we have. It's the highest level of prophecy is the written word of God. Okay? Next. Jesus is above all personalities, including powerfully anointed ministers and all the gifts. There are no stars except Christ. He's the only one that we're trying to see name up in light. Okay? He is the one that we're trying to put the spotlight on. He is the one that we want to be, that we want to glorify. It is Christ that we want to glorify. Next, the local church under the leadership of the pastors and elders must be represented as the primary place of exercising and training of ministry gifts and learning to function in ministry. Not conferences and not seminars, not even this class. Okay? This is not your primary source of teaching and training. This is a supplement. This is like taking a vitamin to add to what you are already receiving on Sundays and Fridays and Wednesdays or whatever other days that you have service at your local assembly. In addition to whatever leadership trainings your church may provide. And, you know what I'm saying, whatever other character development things that your church, you know, has available to you, this is only a supplement. You cannot live off of this, okay? This is only for a couple of weeks, okay? And then after that, you got to go back to, you know, your life, okay? So this is only a supplement. Going to other church conferences and going to other seminars, those are only supplements. Those are not your primary source of sustenance, spiritually speaking. You should be connected to a local church. You should be submitted to your elders and pastors and apostles, okay, at your local assembly. It is important that you do that because in order for you to flow in authority, you must first be under authority, okay? Jesus flowed in authority that God has given him because he was under the authority of the Father. And so likewise with us, we should be under the authority of our local churches as we are flowing in the authority that God has put upon our lives, okay? Number four, prophecy is not the source of being able to solve church disputes, and this is just a reiteration of what we talked about a few minutes ago, and prophecies to avoid, okay? So prophecy is not the source of being able to solve church disputes, okay? The use of common sense, and I use that term lightly because I know that common sense is not common. So I use the term common sense very lightly. But the use of common sense, above all wisdom, and sound biblical principles should be the means of all conflict resolution, okay? We can go to the Word of God. We can go to Matthew 18 and see how we're supposed to deal with conflicts in the church. Go to the Word of God and see how we're supposed to deal with conflicts between ourselves and our brethren. Okay? Not prophecy. We had somebody who used to go to our church some years ago. And every time she came to myself or to my husband, it was always, you know, the Lord is dealing with me. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord told me that this is what I should do. I don't understand people who can say they have all this community. They sit down and have tea with Jesus every day, but they cannot handle personal problems that they have on a daily basis. You cannot even, you know, you can't cure a headache, but God is having tea with you every day. We need to stop trying to be so deep and prophesy every 5 minutes and learn some practical things to deal with everyday situations, okay? Biblical principles for dealing with everyday situations. Prophecy is not the answer to everything. Prophecy is supposed to be edifying, to encourage, and to admonish, not for you to live off of every single day, okay? And that's something that we need to remember, all right? And then also, you must practice the principle in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You'll find that in Proverbs 11 and 14. Always remember that no man is, you know, they have this saying in the world, no man is an island. And not just that, but no man is a law unto himself. So you got to allow God to speak to you through others. It is okay to go and receive advice. It does not mean that you are weak because you desire someone's advice to be able to help you through whatever it is that you're going through, or to get advice about how to handle situations. That's wise. That's what we should be able to do, okay? And these are things that we need to remember. Now, I know that this wasn't, like, really deep, you know, but I think that these are things that we need to remember, because these are basic things that, even though I say that they're basic, but for some people they're not basic. For some people, they never even heard of the fact that there's prophecies that they need to avoid. You know what I'm saying? So this is information that I would even say you share this with other people that you know that are called to prophetic ministry. You may see them going in the wrong direction. They could be greatly anointed of God, but because they don't have that character development or because they don't have that training, you know what I'm saying, dealing with, you know, practical areas in their life, they may shipwreck and mess up what God has really called them to do. And so that's the purpose of having sections like this that we have in our training, so that we don't shipwreck, so that we don't make a mess out of what God has placed in our hands. Amen, amen. So let's pray, amen. We're going to close out this segment on teaching. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, for this class. Thank you, Father, for just moving in our midst, for having your way tonight, God, for just teaching your people tonight. God, I pray, God, that this word has been an encouragement to your people, and I pray, Father, that they would use the things that they have heard, Lord, and that they, oh God, would go forth in the things that they have heard tonight. God, we come against every trick of the enemy, every plan of the enemy, God, that comes against them. Father, we pray now, God, that you would just strengthen them and encourage them. Build them up, oh God, in their most holy faith. Cause them, oh God, to be men and women of character, oh God, men and women of power and authority, men and women, oh God, that prophesy, oh God, with integrity, Lord God, and that walk according to your word. And Father, we give you praise for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just give me 1 second so I can stop the recording.